Hello, and welcome to The Reading Life, WWNO's weekly look at the New Orleans literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. Today, we'll take a look back at World Book Night, which began last year in the United Kingdom. And last week, World Book Night came to the United States as more than 20,000 book givers fanned out across the country to give away favorite books. New Orleans was well represented by book lovers who had some innovative ideas for giving away books. And we'll also talk with a promiscuous reader and book club member, Joy Raines. It's a great thing when books become part of the street life, and that's exactly what happened in New Orleans on World Book Night. Producer Jenny Lawson and I traveled around the city handing out our own books. I gave out Rebecca Skloot's The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and Jenny's choice was John Irving's A Prayer for Owen Meany. First stop, the East New Orleans Regional Library, where we saw lots of parents and kids checking in and checking out after school. I'm here to give this away because it's World Book Night, okay. And people are all over the city giving away books that they like, and this is a biography I liked really so much.
The Immortal Life of
Henrietta Lacks.
Okay.
And doctors took her cells when she was really sick, and her cells are still alive in a laboratory, and they're still being used to cure diseases. And this reporter found her whole life history and brought her back to life. It's a great story. So I hope you like it.
Okay, I look forward to reading it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Then it was on to the New Orleans Healing Center, where Donna Allen and Ken Foster were at Maple Street Bookshop. Ken was the state captain for World Book Night.
Housekeeping is the book I chose to give out today. So I'm in the process of figuring out who I'm going to give the book to. And earlier today, on my way to work, I stopped by a house where a couple of people were working, one of whom I knew. And I know he just had a third child at home. And so I said to him, "When's the last time you read a book?" And he said, "Read a book?" Like it was the craziest question that anyone could possibly ask him. So I said, "Here, this is my favorite book. I want you to read this." And he was like, "Oh, wow, that's great." And so now I just did a loop around the neighborhood. I started making a list in my head of people that I know that should read this book. And I can go knock on their door and hand it to them. And then I'm probably going to go out again tonight to a few places with my remaining copies.
So tell us why you picked this book.
I picked it because it really is one of my favorite books, but it's also a book that I think is really strange. It has sort of a magnetic power to it that you can't articulate, even if you're talking to somebody else who has read it and loves it. And I thought of all the books on the list, it was the one that, you know, no matter what your reading experiences or preferences might be, everyone who reads it will say, "What an unusual book." So I thought that was sort of a great way of approaching it and feeling confident about how people will respond to it.
And one of the things I love about these books is that even though they're 30 different titles, they were printed to all look alike and look nice and beautiful to hand out. Didn't you think, weren't you pleased when you saw them?
The really great thing, I think, is the list of all 30 books that's on the back. And I've already had someone come into the bookstore looking for another title that they recognized as being one of those books that they kept saying they were going to read and never got around to reading. So they came in to get it, which is great. Hopefully everybody does that. You know, hopefully a lot of people who have been readers in the past and have fallen out of the habit will receive this gift from whoever gives it to them and just keep on reading and look at that list and say like, "Oh yeah, I've heard about some of these books. Maybe I should check them out."
I always meant to read it. Yeah. But I hope it does that. I really do. It's so much fun, though.
Yeah, it is.
LaShawn Crawford, who manages guest services at the food co-op in the Healing Center, was handing out books, too. So what book did you choose?
I chose The Brief and Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde.
Oh, and out of the 30 books, because there are 30 books to choose from, what made you pick that one?
It's just one of my favorite books. I learned so much from it that I wanted to share that experience with other people.
And what did you say to them when you gave them the book?
I told them that this was one of my favorite books. It exposed me to a lot of different things that I didn't know, and that I hope it did the same for them.
Were people happy, surprised? How'd it go?
They were kind of shocked, not expecting it, but people were really appreciative of the book, and so I think that it'll go well. And I gave it to a lot of coworkers who I know who don't read, so we're going to have a little impromptu book club going on at the co-op.
Oh, that's really great. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. I hope you have a blast tonight.
I plan on it. It's been a great experience.
Then it was on to the gorgeous Spring Fiesta house in the French Quarter, where Karen Center had taken her books.
So tell us what book you chose to give away tonight.
I chose to give away Zeltan, and the reason why I chose that book was because I thought it was a story that needed to be heard here in New Orleans. It's a story about a gentleman that is from New Orleans that was arrested, and he was just helping out, and I thought it was a good story.
Zeytoun is one of the great stories to come out of the post-Katrina era, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so I chose that book, and hopefully we will find the proper people to give it away to here at the Spring Fiesta House. We've invited a lot of people. We'll have to see how that goes.
Next, it was on to the riverfront near Jackson Square for Jenny to distribute a prayer for Owen Meany. And we closed out our night at the Lost Love Lounge in Bywater, where Amy Knoll was giving away Just Kids by Patti Smith with a whiskey special, appropriately.
I'm giving away Just Kids by Patti Smith. I received it from my mother the week it was published, and I read it, and I promptly gave it away to one of my friends the week after because I was like, this is the most magical book ever written, and gave it away to a friend, and I've actually purchased 3 copies of it and gave it away. And when I found out about World Book Night and that it was one of the titles, I couldn't resist.
You have a very cool mother, I just have to say. So what is it that grabs you about this book?
It literally was all of those things that you dreamed about as a child, and you always just kind of put them in the back of your head, and what Patty and Robert did and how they lived those dreams together and never forgot them and then made themselves into artists. You think everything is always so deliberate, and it really is kind of that dreaming part of yourself that really makes people great. And the way she wrote it, just that voice, you know, I forgot I had it, and it just kind of reinvigorated me, too.
It's so inspiring for anybody. But tell me how you found out about World Book Night in the first place.
On the Maple Street Bookstore Facebook, I subscribed to their Facebook posts, and they had posted about it. And also, my sister was living in London last year when they did it, so she participated in it last year, and they did I Capture the Castle.
So tell us about the sign that's outside on the street corner, which we love.
So we do have a sign outside saying, yay, it's World Book Night, and we gave our books away at 8 p.m. tonight. And then we were trying to figure out what Patti Smith would drink, and it was not beer. So we do have a whiskey special for $3 tonight.
That's a very New Orleans way to give away books, don't you think?
Yeah, very much.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for coming by, and it's such a fun night, and everybody should do it next year.
Kay King came by there after giving away her books at the Mardi Gras Zone.
I would start with people by walking in, showing them my pin, and I would say, today in the United States, we are going to give away 500,000 books. And then I would say, so are you a reader or not? And they'd say, well, and I'd say, well, how many books have you read in the last year? And if you haven't read any or you've only read one, don't be embarrassed. That does qualify you if you want a free book. And I would pull the book out and tell them that this is my favorite book. And they'd ask me why, and people really got curious. They'd say, what's it about? And I said, it's about love, it's about terrorism, it's about people connecting. And I said, I think the book is really a metaphor for if people really connect, they don't kill one another. And people would say, oh, that sounds pretty good. So I was able to give it to people that said thank you over and over. They would say it to me, and then one girl came back up, and she said, now, what's your name again? And can I give you something? And I said, yes, you can. It's a small neighborhood, and if you see me again, come up, interrupt me, tell me that you read the book, and tell me whether you liked it or not. And I said, that's the gift you can give back. I said, I'd love to know. But the other fun thing was that several people that were readers told me their favorite books. And so I took a piece of paper and a pen with me, and I wrote down books for me to read next. So that was fun, too.
Ashlyn Cunningham is a Teach for America Corps member from Connecticut and a ninth grade English teacher at Chalmette High School in St. Bernard Parish. She chose to give her books away at school, where working to inspire a love of reading is a daily crusade, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
So tell me, what was your book?
I chose The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak.
That's a very beautiful book, isn't it?
It is, and actually, I'm just reading it now. I wanted to choose a book that I could read along with the students, and I'm really enjoying it.
Now, you have a two-pronged approach to work with the reluctant readers in your classes. Tell us a little bit about that.
My approach for getting kids to love reading, because so often, second day of school, I say, you know, we're going to start our first novel, and immediately it's, from a lot of my kids, it's, I hate reading. Oh, I hate reading. And so I really, really like to start off with a book that I know is high interest and that they're going to love. So last year, I started off with Speak by Laurie Hall Sanderson. And this year, I started off with The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. And just beginning with that novel, with a story that students can really get into and really get excited about, really kind of sets the stage for other novels and other genres that they might be interested in.
So how did it go on World Book Night, or in your case, World Book Day?
World Book Day was great because it happened to coincide with Teacher for a Day. So I actually had one of my students from last year who has become an avid reader, and she is the one who passed out my books to the teachers and the Ninth Grade Academy. So what we did was we took the books and we printed out a little memo as to what World Book Night was, because most of the other teachers didn't know, and some directions as to what students could do to read this book and encourage others to do the same. So I had students drop two books off at each English teacher's classroom and tell them that it was from Miss Cunningham, to share it with their students and get people interested, get students interested in reading them.
And you were also doing something very special with the individual books, weren't you?
Yes. So with the individual books, what I've asked students to do, or what I'm asking teachers to tell their students to do, is after they finish it, is to just simply find a page, find the beginning of the page, find the back of the book, and write their name in it. That way, other students who pick up the book can see that maybe a student they know, or maybe a student from the school that they've heard about, or just any name in general, is a testament to reading and loving this book. So even if that student doesn't hear from the other student who's read the book, they know that this is a book that's been read and been loved. And hopefully by next year, the year after, there will be 100 names in each book.
I know. You'll have to follow them around and check and see. So what was it that drew you to this particular book?
Narrated by Death.
I know.
I think those three words are enough to capture any young reader's attention, and it's so, so important that I found in the past 2 years, if they don't like the first page of a book, they're not going to continue reading it. And so when I had read about the book and I read about this story narrated by Death, I knew that that is something that students would hold on to and that they would grasp. I think it's one of the best beginnings of a book that I've read in a long time. Everyone should
hear
it. So
read the beginning to us.
Okay. So the chapter is titled Death and Chocolate. First the colors, then the humans. That's usually how I see things, or at least how I try. Here is a smart fact. You are going to die.
It does. It just gets you from the very first. Well, I can tell you're a wonderful teacher.
Oh, thank you.
We've been talking with Ashlyn Cunningham, who was a World Book Night giver to the students at Chalmette High School. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
All in all, it was a great New Orleans World Book Night. Thanks to everyone who made it possible. An important part of the reading life here at WWNO is hearing from you about your reading life. And one of the New Orleanians I know who loves to read is Joy Raines. Joy has a bachelor's degree in English from Tulane, and she now works at the university as the program manager for the Tulane Interdisciplinary Experience Seminars for first-year students. She's a voracious reader, and her Facebook page is full of recommendations for books. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Susan.
I'm so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here.
It sounds like you just started reading in your life and never stopped.
Pretty much. I really do not remember a time that I didn't know how to read or wasn't reading something. I always have a book in my purse. It's sort of a habit.
So you didn't succumb to English major fatigue?
No. You know, there was maybe, I'd say maybe a month when I was more about going to the movies, but then I kind of missed books. So probably saw a movie that was based off a book, so I had to go get the book, and then I'll start all over again.
And all that leads to book groups, too, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
That's where we first met,
yep,
at a book group.
Yep.
So tell me, how many are you up to now?
Right now, I'm only in three. Only in three.
You only had two left.
Yeah. I'm only in three, although, you know, summer's coming, so sometimes I like to join a fourth one, maybe at one of the bookstores, just because I have a little more time on my hands. So,
well, tell about the different ones you're sticking with.
Well, my original was the Barnes & Noble Contemporary Fiction Book Club, which still meets.
I love that group.
I love them so much. I will never stop going there. As long as they let us there, I'll always keep going. But I think I started that one probably 2004, I want to say, maybe 2003. So yeah, ooh, long time. And from that one, I met some people who, after Katrina started their own book club, which we affectionately call Remedial Readers. We're not. We're all very, very smart. And then from that one, I actually met our mutual friend, Ted O'Brien, and I got into our drinking club with a reading problem.
My favorite name.
We have another name, but I can't say that on the radio. So yeah, so just those three, you know, that's it.
So what are the Remedial Readers read?
Remedial Readers is probably like the easiest to get a book recommendation in, because it's just sort of like we just open it up and go, what are you reading right now? Or, hey, I just read about this book. And then everybody's like, okay, we'll read that. So we actually just finished The Help. And I, you know, had resisted reading that for such a long time. And I read it, and it just completely sucks you in. I finished it in like a night, so I'm a very fast reader, too, so that helps a lot.
I know, but then you need to feed the beast.
Yeah, and then I have that, what do I do now? So I have a whole stack of books near my bed, so never without something to read.
But. So what are you drinking and reading?
We are going to read The Moviegoer by Walker Percy, which several of us haven't read yet, which was surprising. So I think that's why that one snuck in.
Well, people belong to book groups for many reasons. Mm-hmm. They belong because they do love their books, and reading is something you do alone. So what do these book groups do for you, these different groups?
Aside from the fact that it's nice to be around people who love to read as much as me, it gives you a chance to maybe look at a book in a different light that you maybe hadn't seen before. One example, last month for our drinking club with a reading problem, we read Revolutionary Road, which I've read now four times, I think.
Wow.
And it was so interesting, the different conversations that we had about it and the different ways that I felt about it. Because the first time I read it, I was in a very different place than I am this last time I read it. So, you know, in my 30s now, so sometimes things don't work out for relationships that you started in your 20s. And so the book is sort of about that. So it's interesting to see everybody, you know, the people who love it, the people who sympathize with this character and that character. And even myself now, I, you know, have a totally different view of it. So that's what the fun part about book group is just hearing everybody's opinion. Even if you're arguing about it, it's still, you know, you love it. So you're passionate about it. So you're defending your stance, and it's great. It's not like, you know, your typical English class where your professor loves it. So you feel, oh, yes, I absolutely love that book.
I appreciate this book. So don't you think the very best ones are those ones that people argue about?
Absolutely. Those are our best book clubs. The ones where everybody likes it. Although there have been a few where everybody's hated it. But, you know, we feel like compelled to finish it. And then everybody's angry, usually at the person who recommended it. So, but those are fun too, because we get to go, oh, well, this part was just, oh, and how did this get published? And
what was the book that provoked the most discussion so far, you think?
Ooh, Revolutionary Road was a good one.
Yeah.
Before that, honestly, the classics, when we read Madame Bovary, because that is such a favorite of so many people. And again, one of those that I read in college and was just, oh, what's her problem? And now you're like, oh, God, she's so brave. And it's just like that. And I would have to say probably, I really think the classics. We read Jane Eyre, too, which was very interesting book discussion, especially in the drinking club, because there's so many guys in it. That's the thing about that one that's interesting. It's usually my book clubs are mostly women. And it was interesting, you know, the guys were really, you know, had a lot to say about it. I thought that they were going to be sort of a girly book, but they really liked it. It's interesting that, you know, so many of them gave it. We have a scale of 1 to 5, you know, 1 being ah, and 5 being the best thing you've ever read. And we got a lot of 5s.
Oh, so tell me, is there one favorite author, one favorite book you go back to again and again?
It's Anne of Green Gables. I still read that about once a year, usually around my birthday. She's just still such a heroine of mine, and I love that book. I had a copy that my dad gave me right after I read it when I was young, and I lost it in Katrina, which was horrible. But around then was the 100th anniversary of the book, so I got a special edition copy of it and wrote to Joy from Joy.
So great.
So I read that one about once a year.
Well, I always love to see you, Joy.
Oh, you too.
So thanks. Thanks for being part of the Reading Life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Susan.
In every way.
Thank you.
Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Jay Massa discusses and signs Up Front and Center, New Orleans Music at the End of the 20th Century, Wednesday, May 2nd at 6 p.m. at Maple Street Bookshop on Maple Street. 10th Ward Buck, Lucky Johnson, and Allison Fensterstock will discuss and sign The Definition of Bounce, and will also premiere the new documentary film of the same name, 6 to 9 p.m., Wednesday, May 2nd at Cafe Istanbul in the New Orleans Healing Center. Tickets are available at the door. And the Jazz Fest book tent, next to the music sales tent out at the fairgrounds, will be busy with author signings this weekend. It's sponsored by the New Orleans Gulf South Booksellers Association, and proceeds benefit the Children's Book Bank, as well as other literacy efforts. Here's who will be signing. Thursday, May 3rd, from 1 to 2, Anne Benoit signs Broussard's Restaurant and Courtyard Cookbook. From 2 to 3, Maura Crone signs The Not Yet. From 3 to 4, Allison Fensterstock signs Definition of Bounce, Between Ups and Downs in New Orleans. On Friday, May 4th, from noon to 1, Tom Fitzmaurice signs Lost Restaurants of New Orleans. At 1, Laura Jo Rowland signs Ronan's Mistress. At 2, Jeremy Garcin signs New Orleans Sojourn. At 3, Sherry Lee Alexander signs Courtroom Carnival. At 4, James Nolan signs Higher Ground. And at 5, West Freeman signs The Garden District of New Orleans. On Saturday, May 5th at noon, Robert Chanfrot signs Story Behind the Stone. At 1, Constance Adler signs My Bayou. At 2, Alex Cook signs Louisiana Saturday Night. At 3, Tom Piazza signs Devil Sent the Rain. At 4, Keith Spira signs Groove Interrupted, now in paperback. And on Sunday, at noon, Cornell Landry signs Happy Jazz Fest. At 2, Mary Richardson signs Open Your Heart and Let Love In. At 3, Ben Sandmel signs Ernie Cato, the R&B Emperor of New Orleans. From 4 to 5, the cast of Treme will sign their DVD. And from 5 to 6, Errol Barron signs his beautiful sketchbook, New Orleans Observed. Major support for The Reading Life is provided by Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Christwood Retirement Community and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press. The Reading Life is produced by Jenny Lawson and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at wwno.org or email us at thereadinglife@wwno.org. Thanks for listening and keep reading.